Let us now turn to the Word of God, to the portion read in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 30. And we shall read now from verse 15 of this chapter. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift, and so on. The words that we would endeavor to concentrate our minds upon as helped are those words at the beginning of verse 16, four simple words. But ye said no. But ye said no. And I hope and trust that will never be the condemnation of anyone sitting under the gospel in this congregation. This is a record of the attitude of people in the past, and it was such an act of rebellion against God that it was to be written and recorded for generations to come. In the verse 8, the prophet is told, now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That the generations to come will not only be aware of what happened, but that they will be instructed and that they will take heed and be warned not to bring upon themselves the guilt that this particular generation brought upon themselves. But ye said no, my house solemn. And I know only too well, and you know too, it is very possible that by the end of this service, someone might just be saying no to God. We may consider then these words as enabled, first of all, noting that they testify to an act of sinful rebellion. But ye said no. This is clearly an act of defiant rebellion. But it is also, when God takes note of it, he is grieved by it, he is offended by it, because it is an exhibition of the spirit of sinful pride and arrogance. Imagine the creature of the dust responding to God and saying to God Almighty, as he says here, ye said no. Imagine the mortal, sinful, fallen creature saying no to the Almighty who holds the very breath of their nostrils in his hand. That is a solemn act of rebellion, but it is a display of the utmost wicked arrogance. And then we may thirdly note these words, but ye said no. They clearly indicate to us the intention to commit spiritual suicide. What else can we expect? But ye said no, and what has God been doing? He's been making known the way of salvation. The way that this people can be saved, the way they can be delivered. But how do they respond to God's mercy and offers of it? But ye said no. Ye said no to my offers of mercy, to my counsel, to my instruction. And then we may fourthly note that these words are an invitation to the anger and the wrath of an offended God to punish the sin that is committed by saying no to God. Let us then consider as an evil these matters. Who is God addressing here in this chapter? We go back to the beginning. And what do we read in verse 1? Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. Woe be to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. The children that God Himself had brought up and raised and cared for and defended and provided for. Here is God offended by the response to His kindness and His grace and His mercy by those whom He has so provided for. Woe unto the rebellious children. Oh, we might think when we read these words, well, this is God speaking to ancient Israel of old. Well, the principle ought to be applied. Children, take note. Rebellion, we are told in the Scriptures, is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is... That's what the servant of the Lord Samuel told Saul. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And Saul had sought to put all the witches out of the land. As the king of Israel, he disposed of them all. He cleaned the land of witchcraft. And then he resorted to one when he was in desperation and he wanted the witch of Endor to bring up Samuel to speak to him. And Saul imagined, perhaps before God, I have done something very virtuous, something that God approves of. I have cleansed the land. What did Samuel say? Saul, you may have gotten rid of the witches and all their satanic influence, but you are as guilty as they because you're rebelling against God. And the sin of rebellion is just as vile in the eyes of God as the sin of witchcraft. And here is God speaking to a people described as rebellious children, rebelling against the Father's authority, rebelling against the Father's instruction, rebelling against the Father's influence. The Bible teaches us, honor thy father and thy mother. That's the commandment, the first commandment with promise. And I tell you, children, never start rebelling against the sincere instruction that you receive from your parents or your grandparents. Lay it to heart. Because if you rebel, there will be consequences. And here's what God says to this people. Thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. You will see back in verse 7, what the prophet is told to tell these people, the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. You turn to the arm of flesh. They will feel you. The arm of flesh will let you down. Therefore, have I cried concerning this? I haven't just spoken. I have cried in deadly earnest. I have pled with you. You people, I have pled with you. I have presented to you the mind of God. I have sought your good. I have put before you God's way of salvation in your crisis. What has he cried? Their strength is to sit still or wait upon the Lord in the exercise of faith. But ye said no. Ye said no. Isn't it interesting? We've all watched little ones starting life in this world, and parents get excited. You know, little Jimmy, he said his first word today. You know what he said? Mama! And we get so excited. And then he goes on and he adds to his vocabulary, Dada. And Mama and Dada think it's wonderful that their offspring are actually recognizing the relationship, beginning to speak to them, beginning to communicate. And Mama and Dada, what do? They keep repeating the very expression to encourage the little one to say it. But you know, there's one word appears very, very quickly. It's in the vocabulary of every little child at a very early stage. And my, the parents don't want to repeat it. It's that word, no. Don't you see the little stern look? No. I'm not going to do it. No. Haven't you seen the little faces, the defiance? No. Here is God speaking of those who are naturally rebellious against God, and they're saying no in their defiance and in their rebellion. This is a historic incident in the life of the people of God. But you see, the rebellion is here increased because of the fact they've had this experience before. And they've refused to learn. They've turned in the past. You go back to 2 Kings and you will see there they resorted to the same conduct. And they turned to the Egyptians and they turned to the Assyrians. They sold the very articles out of the house of God to buy protection, and it became a curse to them. And here they are, a new generation, and they have not learned. They have not learned from their past. They have not taken on board the lessons of the past. They haven't given heed to what has happened to their fathers and their grandfathers and the generations previous. And when God is directing them in the way they should go, they are saying no. My, what a condemnation. You will remember, you go there to the book of Daniel and you have the King Belshazzar, and the night in which he was slain, there came a message to him from the from God, the writing on the wall, and he wanted it interpreted for him. Daniel came and told him the mind and the message that was coming from God. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Many a man is found wanting. But we would be very charitable and we would excuse him. We might say, well, it's due to his history, due to his past, due to his upbringing. He doesn't know any better. He's never been taught any different. But what is God saying to Belshazzar? Verse 22 of Daniel 5. And thou his son, and this is a reference to the relationship between Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar. God had dealt very seriously with Nebuchadnezzar because of his pride and because he was glorying that in his great dominion, not recognizing that God is the one who sets up one and puts another down. And God had humbled Nebuchadnezzar. But what does God say through Daniel here to Belshazzar, verse 22 of Daniel 5? And thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. You are inexcusable. You know what God requires of you. You know what will happen when you say no to God. You know what the consequences will be of rebelling against God and saying no. But ye said no. God is identifying a particular people in a particular generation. They are not ignorant of who God is addressing. Now listen. Is there anyone here tonight? And if God were to be speaking, if he were to come and speak audibly to yourself tonight, what would he say? Would you, my dear friend, be like Adam, trying to hide yourself desperately from God? When he would say, I have shown you the way of salvation. I have sent men with messages from heaven to your soul. I have troubled your conscience. I have smitten you with conviction of sin. I have called you to repentance. But he said no. He said no. What rebellion. My, what rebellion. Against the God of eternity, the God with whom we have to do. We're all hastening to the day of reckoning. We shall have to account for every day of our lives. We shall have to account for every Lord's Day, every sermon, every family worship, every page of Scripture that has been read, every privilege, every blessing, we shall have to very shortly answer for it. When the books are opened, it will be more solemn, I tell you, than the opening of this book that Isaiah was to write. Write it in a table, note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come. Oh, the time to come when we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and the book shall be opened. What's going to be recorded there? But ye said no. But ye said no to Christ. Ye said no to salvation. Ye said no to mercy. You said no to the hope that was set before you in the everlasting gospel. Oh, what rebellion is in the heart of sinful man rising up in defiance of God as creator. But then, as we said, these words exhibit a fearfully wicked spirit of pride and arrogance. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. This is the way of salvation. In returning, why does God say in returning? Because they're in haste to go to Egypt. They're in trouble. And we shall go to Egypt. And we shall seek the aid and the protection of Pharaoh. Verse 2 of this chapter. The rebellious children walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. How many have gotten themselves into serious trouble when they take a course of action and they didn't ask counsel of God? They didn't ask God, what's your mind? What's your thoughts? No. We're clever enough in ourselves. We'll go where we think. We will find what we're looking for. They go down to Egypt. They haven't asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Rather than in the shadow of the mighty rock, we shall trust in the shadow of Egypt. No doubt they were fearing the great Assyrian invasion. They had every reason to think of that. But their course of action is, we shall seek salvation in Egypt. And here we're told that in verse 6, the burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, and they will carry, end of verse 6, their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. They are trying to buy protection, trying to secure salvation by their own efforts, by their own works. And God is saying to them, come and buy the protection that is offered without money and without price. But ye said no. Ye said no. We're going to Egypt. They had been given serious instructions. You go back to the, in the Word of God, to Deuteronomy, and you see there in chapter 17, God's counsel when he would bring his people into the land of promise and prosperity. And he said, the day will come you will ask for a king. But this is what will be required of your king. He will be forbidden to do three things, and he will be required to do something very positive. He is not permitted to multiply gold. That was the downfall of Solomon. He multiplied what he was forbidden to multiply. Thou shalt not multiply gold. He was not to multiply horses. And he was not to go down to Egypt to buy horses. Horses were the creatures of the battlefield, the war horse. And the king of God's people, Solomon, was forbidden to buy horses, and yet that's what he did. Horses and chariots. He built great stables for his horses and chariots. Likewise, he was forbidden to multiply wives. What is in the heart of man? What is Solomon particularly renowned for? His wisdom. Great wisdom. Wisdom that gave him a reputation throughout the nations. And yet, this wise man, head and shoulders above everyone in wisdom, and he asked it of God. It doesn't prevent him doing the very things that God told him he wasn't to do. He multiplied gold. He multiplied horses. He multiplied wives. Though we believe he did write out the law of God. That was the king was required to do that. But here we have a people. Though they have the word of God, it has been stored up, it has been preserved, that they are not to be depending on horses, and particularly the Egyptian horses. Some, the psalmist says, will trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our God. And they have forgotten the name of their God. And they are now seeking salvation, to be saved by their own methods, applying their own wisdom, their own reasoning. We are going to work at it, and we will manage somehow or other to procure our protection, our salvation. What does God say? This is where your salvation lies. In returning, in repentance. That's what returning means. You will change your mind. Instead of going down to Egypt, you will turn unto me. Repentance. God commands all men everywhere. Right here tonight in this very building. There are no exclusions. Every one of us are commanded to repent. That is the way that God requires the sinner to appeal to him and to come to him. Is God saying to some who refuse to repent, I have told you what's required? In returning unto me, that's where your salvation lies. But he said, no. I refuse to return. I am going my own way. I am going to fulfill mine own desires. No, I refuse to repent. Because repentance is too humbling for me. I refuse to go down and debase myself in the dust before God in repentance. I refuse to pray the prayer of the pure, of the poor publican. God be merciful to me, the sinner. I am not prepared to go down into such humility. God says, I command you to repent. What's your response? But ye said, no. And then the Lord goes on, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ in rest. What does that mean? Resting on God. Trusting God. Resting on his promises. That's what it means. And here are a people. And God in his infinite mercy is showing to them the way in which they can be saved. The only way they can possibly be saved. They said no. We will not put our trust in God. We will not repent. We will not rest in God. We refuse His promises. We refuse His way of salvation. And quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. Oh, what pride and arrogance. What folly is in the fallen creature. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How? How shall we escape if we say no? If we refuse God's way of saving sinners? How shall we possibly escape when God brings the accusation, but ye, you sat Sabbath by Sabbath in the little Free Presbyterian Church in Grafton. Sabbath by Sabbath, I called you. Through the servants of God, I pled with you. I offered you mercy. I sent men who were faithful to your souls. They told you the way that God will save a sinner. And you said rebelliously, no, we're not having it. I'm going to continue to enjoy my sin. I'm going to continue in the way that seems right unto a man, because every man's ways are right in his own eyes. God says there is a way. It seems right, just like this people. It seemed wise, it seemed right. The Egyptians are powerful. The Egyptians have horses. The Egyptians have chariots. Pharaoh is a mighty lord. We shall go to Him. We shall seek protection from Him. He will save us. What does God say? No, you're going to be disappointed. On the day when it really matters, you're going to have to discover that that which you lean upon is going to let you down. And yet you continue to say no to the wisdom of God, to the mercy of God, to the grace of God, to the long-suffering of God. It is the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, who is absolutely faithful. Imagine how undeserving you and I are that the way of salvation would even be made known to us. Think of the multitudes throughout this world. They don't know how to be saved. They haven't even heard the gospel. They're hanging on to false religion and trusting in spurious teaching, clinging to that which gives them no hope whatever. Oh, the condemnation of those who have such privileges that they know, and they reject it like Belshazzar. Though thou knewest all these things, you knew that there was a God in heaven, and you knew that there was a God requiring repentance. But you said no. Ye said no. There are those who say yes, but there are those who say no. And we have to acknowledge that when they do, it is an act of spiritual suicide. What is to become of the sinner who knows and yet says no? He knows the way of salvation, like the Israelites of old. We have it there in the epistle to the Hebrews. What a solemn warning it is in the Hebrew epistle chapter 4. The apostle writes, verse 1, let us therefore fear. I would to God that fear would be in evidence. Sinners afraid. The fear of God is gone from this generation. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Let us therefore fear. Why? Because we have examples. We have examples of those who had the promises. They had the promise of blessing in the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of plenty. But you remember what happened. Whenever the spies were sent into the land to see the evidence of God's faithful promises, they came back. And what were they saying? Oh, there's giants there. And the cities reached to heaven. And we could never possibly conquer that land. We could never overcome that people. What did they do? They trusted to their own reasoning and their own foolish calculations. With the result that because they said no to God, they never entered the land. They committed, in reality, spiritual suicide, and a whole generation of them fell in the wilderness because God had shown them the way. He had said to them, just like his people here, in returning and rest, shall ye be saved? You trust me, and you shall be saved. I will not fail you. I will save you. But ye said, no, we don't want to be saved your way. We don't want you to save us. We want to save ourselves. Can you imagine why men and women and young people would ever do what is here recorded? Saying no to God's offer of mercy, to God's grace, to God's loving kindness. No, we will not have it. Like the arrogant generation in the Savior's own lifetime. We will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have it. What a foolish thing. Yet, we see we're surrounded by it. And I suppose the words of the Savior can be applied when he said, because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. And we're living in a day when parliaments, governments, legislators, they're saying no. We will not have God's law. When God, who has instituted the family, says this is what is required as the foundation of human society. Smart, clever men and women, God has to accuse them. I have laid my law before you. I've given you my commandments. I have authorized how society is to conduct itself, how it is to be established and stabilized, and you've said no. We will have a different kind of a family. We will have a different kind of a society. We will legislate in such a way is that every man can do his own thing and it'll be legal. We will legalize every kind of conduct. We will defy the very God of heaven. And ye said no. God is going to accuse Western parliaments and Western legislators. He's going to accuse men in authority and women. Ye said no to me. When I said, thou shalt not commit adultery, ye raised the fist in defiance of my authority and you said no. When I declared to you, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, you said no. How solemn. The nation that forgets God, that lifts up the heel of rebellion, is ripening fast for judgment. And in the church of Jesus Christ, what is the response again and again to God's commandments? God surely must accuse a backslidden, an apostatizing church. You said no to me. I told you who the head of the church is. You said no, we won't have it. I told you how you were to conduct the worship of God. You must worship me in spirit and in truth. But you said no, we won't. We will worship God whatever way we feel is appropriate, and God will just have to accept it. Ye said no to me. I showed you the way of salvation. But ye said no, we will not have that preached from our pulpits. I showed you the Christ of God, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. And ye said no, we don't want God's Lamb. We don't want God's atonement. We are capable of saving ourselves. Ye said no. What accusations God must have. Families, right down to the family, the Christian home. God there declares how our homes are to be governed. Every home is to have a head, not two heads. That's a monster. One head, one authority. Children, obey your parents. Parents don't even require their children to obey them. And the children quickly discover, my parents aren't even serious. They forbid me to do something, and I tested them. I should have got a good clip around the ear, but I didn't. So I'll try it again. And that's what happens. The Christian home is being eroded because parents and children are saying no to God. We are a modern home. We are a family living in the 21st century. And we can conduct ourselves differently. We can change the rules. God was saying this in the days of Moses. We don't need to listen to God now. We say no to God. We are going to have our home as worldly as we need it. Ye said no. Imagine God, the creator of the ends of the earth. The mighty, omnipotent, all-wise God, having to address an arrogant creature like you and me and say, you said no to me. How very foolish. But we have to carry on God's accusation here. Ye said no, it is, as I said, an act of spiritual suicide. Because God is clear, here he told the Israelites, you turn to Egypt, and you will get your swift horses, but I will make your enemies even more swift. And you think that when you have all this military power at your back and your calling, then you're safe and secure. God said it will be useless. You are committing suicide. I'm showing you the way of life. You won't have it. You're choosing death. You're choosing your own ruin. You are slaying your own soul. How very silly and solemn. But then, God clearly shows through the prophet his people that because they say no and they refuse his offers of mercy, they refuse his salvation, they are inviting to themselves the consequences of their actions, the judgment of God. Take a look at the example of the mighty Pharaoh himself. God sent Moses and Aaron into his presence. And what was the message from Jehovah God to the mighty Pharaoh? Let my people go. Pharaoh said, no, I will not let them go. We go to the Red Sea. We see the Israelites safely across. They have put their trust in God. Moses has called them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Rest in me, trust in me. And they see the salvation of the Lord. But they can turn and they can look back, and they're buried in that sea is the mighty army, the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh. Why? He said no to God. Let my people go. But he said no. Again and again we have so many examples in the Word of God of the folly of saying no to God. There is that most solemn incident recorded in the book of Joshua whenever the children of Israel, they had conquered Jericho, and then they sinned against God and they brought judgment upon themselves through one individual. In chapter 7 of Joshua, verse 11, God says, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. And this is the conduct of Achan. What had he done? What was he responsible for? Well, you see, Joshua gave clear commandments as the servant of God to the conquering Israelites. When Jericho fell, in verse 17 of chapter 6, the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And then God says this, and ye, in any wise, whatever you do, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the people blew the trumpets and so on. And God gave them the victory over the city of Jericho. And they took possession of all the loot, and it was to be consecrated to God. Now you imagine how much gold, how much silver, how much treasure. And we might think to ourselves, God won't miss a Babylonish garment. It's only one little garment. God won't miss a wedge of gold. He won't miss just these little trifling pieces of all the wealth that's in Jericho. God says Israel has sinned. They've stolen from me. Doesn't matter how little it is. It doesn't matter that they can say, but look at what we've devoted to God. Look at how much treasure we have put in the house of God. You have stolen because you were forbidden to take it. When God exposes the sin in the camp, then exposes the individual responsible for the sin, Achan, his family is taken. And they are put to death. So solemn is their rebellion against God. I told you, you were not to lay a finger on that gold or that silver. It belongs to me. Achan, you stole it and you thought no one knew. And you went and you dug a hole in your tent and you hid it there. And you thought no one knew. But there's nothing escapes. Nothing, nothing, nothing escapes from the knowledge of God. Oh, that sinners would realize that. Nothing whatever escapes from God's notice. And when the stones are taking the life from Achan and his family, the voice from heaven is saying, but ye said no. I told you what you were to do. You said no. I told you what you were forbidden to do. You said no. You disobeyed me. You rebelled against me. You defied me. You thought you knew better. And you thought you could get away with your sin. You cannot. You thought you could say no. And you'd never be discovered. Every last sinner who says no is going to be exposed and discovered at last. The consequences of rejecting God's Christ, we have here, no doubt, the Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah, we were considering a couple of weeks ago. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. What's God saying through his Son? What is God saying through his Son to poor perishing sinners who need salvation and mercy? He is saying, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And on the day of reckoning, how many will meet with that condemnation? But ye said no. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that believeth on me, Though he were dead, yet shall he live. But ye said no. The Christ of God saying to those who are burdened with their sin, bring your burdens to me, take my yoke upon you, you who are heavy laden. But ye said no. The glorious Redeemer, in all the fullness of his divine mercy, holding out to sinners the way of salvation, saying him, no matter how hopeless he is, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But ye said no. He said no. You didn't have to do anything. You weren't required to bring anything. Yet you said no. You know, I was thinking, some of the old godly, such as we've known recently. And it's a great pleasure when you meet with one of the Lord's children, well advanced in years and nearing eternity, and you can converse with them about the things of God, and you're greatly encouraged to see that as they're nearing eternity, these are the things that are on their mind, and it's edifying and it's encouraging, and we want to talk to people like that. And then there are others, and their minds are gone. Their memories don't function anymore. And we think, well, they have nothing to say to us. We've nothing to learn from them. It's pretty hopeless. You can't communicate. There's nothing here of edification. Yet, and I would advise some of you, dear young people, go to one of the Lord's people who's lost their memory, mind is gone, intellect can't be trusted, they've none of these things. And you wonder, why are they still here? God has them here as a means of instruction and tuition for you and me. Because you know this, if that dear man or that dear woman could now speak, and if their memories were still intact, and their minds were still clear, what would they be talking about? What would they be interested in? We know this, that you see, some years back, they came to Christ with nothing. They had to come with nothing. They came with nothing. Poor, empty, useless, hopeless sinner with nothing. They didn't come to Christ who was saying, well, if you come to me and your memory doesn't continue to function and you don't remember me, well, then I'm forgetting you. And if your poor intellect deteriorates, and your reasoning faculties deteriorate, that you can't talk about me, and you can't direct anyone's mind to me. If that ever happens, then I will abandon you. Now what does he say? I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And these poor souls, we think, well, look at the state they're in. They haven't got anything. That's exactly it. They've no more now than the day they came to Christ with nothing. And they put their trust in him. And they cried to him to save them with an everlasting salvation. And they still have nothing. But he's still saving. And he's still keeping. And I tell you, dear young people, it would do your soul good maybe to go to someone like that. I have done it many a time, and all I can do is pray. There's no communication, there's nothing. But I do know that if that poor soul had the restoration of their faculties, I know where they would want to be in Sabbath. I know where they would want to be in Wednesday evening. I know where their delights would be. And I know this. The emptiness that they're experiencing now is no different to the emptiness and the impoverishment that they came to Christ with. And he took them in and he says, I will never, never leave you nor forsake you. How could any sinner say no? I ask you, my dear friend, tonight, if Christ Jesus were standing right here, and you were standing there, and he were to say, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, and there you are, and I turn to you, and I say now, my dear friend, what's your response? Would you dare? My dear friend, could you find it in your heart to say no? The Christ of God, the altogether lovely one, and all he asks you to do is take him as a complete Savior. Dare you? My dear friend, how could you find it in your heart to say to the loving Savior, the precious Son of God, so willing to save even the chiefest of sinners, how could you say no? And yet, that will be the case with so many. I set before you plainly the way of salvation. I didn't require you to buy it. I didn't require you to work for it. I didn't require you to do great mighty works. I offered you salvation in Christ, and it was a perfect full salvation. The promise was valid. I would never leave you. Take me as your Savior, and I will never forsake you. But you said no. My dear friend, how could heaven ever erase? How could all eternity of judgment ever erase such a crime against the Son of God? Oh, may God forbid, young or old, that any of you would be found responsible for such an act of folly. But ye said no. May God forbid it. Let us pray. Our gracious eternal God, we stand before thee as foolish creatures. It is in our very nature to be rebellious. If we are not preserved and prevented from it, we will say no. O gracious one, we plead with thee. Thou knowest those this very evening who need to say yes. Keep them from saying no to thine offers of mercy, from ever saying no to the blessed Savior, turning and rejecting him. May that condemnation that was upon those of old, may it never be the lot of any here. O blessed Holy Spirit, apply thy truth and enable a people willing in the day of thy power to say yes to Christ. Bless thy word, pardon us, accept us. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.